Thank God for His grace, amen. It's amazing, it's wonderful, it's marvelous. Thank God for that truth and song, and thank you for those young people that sang it. Thank God for that my chains are gone, been set free. Thank God for that truth, amen. Singing about the grace of God, I've been preaching through the book of 1 Peter, and I've mentioned numerous times, I believe the theme is grace, and Peter wrote at the end of the book in chapter number 5, we're getting closer and closer to it, that he wrote in verse 12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. And so I believe Peter's writing about God's grace, and we've been looking at that, looking at different areas and how God's grace affects our lives. And I believe we started with redemption, talked about rejoicing, talked about, I don't even know what I talked about, right? Rejoicing, redemption, talked about relationships. That's what we're talking about, amen? And so righteous living, that was my other one. And now we're talking about relationships. Last couple weeks, we've been looking at relationships. We looked at our relationship to the saints and then the relationship to the scriptures. And if you'll remember last week, we looked at our relationship to society in which we live in. And tonight, as many of you can already tell by the scriptures that's been read, I'm going to talk about our relationship to our spouses. Now, Pastor said this morning that talking about the love of God was like trying to hug a mountain. And I was thinking this afternoon, preaching on the relationship of a husband and a wife or on spouses, to me, feels like trying to hug a mountain, right? And so I don't stand up here tonight testifying to be expert in this area by no means. I realize I've got a lot to learn in the area of relationship with my spouse, right? I think most of you already know that. A couple weeks ago, you may remember I was talking about how I took my wife all the way down to North Carolina. I'm trying to think, I don't even know where the place is. We were 5 minutes from the Biltmore and we didn't go, right? So I'm not an expert on the spouse relationship, but God is. And so I want to give you some things tonight that I believe God has given through the Apostle Peter on our relationship to our spouses. And so I hope I can help someone tonight. I know if anybody gets help tonight, it's not going to be because I gave it to you, because I have nothing to give you. But I'm confident tonight that if I'll give you God's word, somebody can get some help. And I realize sometimes we think we don't need help. But I would dare say that 90% of the crowd here tonight, maybe even a higher percentage than that, needs help in this area. You say, well, Brother David, I don't think 90% of the crowd is married. I know, but 90% of the crowd will be at some point. There's a couple that may not ever get married, but for the most part, everyone that I'm speaking to tonight either is married, some were married, and then some will be married. And so I hope that you'll just take some of these thoughts tonight that God gave me as I studied His word, and I believe that Peter gave, that I believe will help us in our relationship with our spouses. So look at verse number 1. The Bible says, likewise. I'm going to go back to that here in a minute, but I do want to say this before I get started. It's interesting what some people believe about this passage. Some believe that Peter is writing, many believe that Peter is writing to wives whose husbands are not saved. And they get that from verse number 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, right, talking about the word of God, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So many people believe that Peter is writing to possibly some Christian ladies who have gotten saved. They were already married. God would never promote the idea of marrying someone that's not saved. God would never do that because it would go against God's word. And God has said that we're not to be unequally yoked together, unbelievers and believers. So we know that he's not condoning the practice of a saved person marrying an unsaved person. But some believe that Peter is writing to some people that were saved or got saved after they were married, and he's telling them how to win their lost spouses to the Lord. I think you could say that, and maybe that's what he means. But also it says that, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if in it. I don't think that necessarily means that her husband's not saved. So I think the message can go to those that may have a spouse that's not saved, but also to those that are in a relationship where both people are saved. He said, if any, obey not the word. They also, like this isn't the only people I'm talking to, may be won by the conversation of the wives. So I just wanted to lay that out clearly, that I do understand the context of the scripture, but I'm not preaching tonight to a saved spouse trying to win a lost spouse. Now, I'm talking about two saved spouses because that is God's way. And so I just wanted to get that out in the open before I get started. So number one, I want to look at a couple things, three things tonight that I believe Peter gives us about our relationship to our spouses. The first thing I want to say is he speaks about reverence. Look at verse number one. He speaks about reverence, verse 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And so the first thing I think Peter says about this relationship with our spouses, he speaks to the wife and he tells the wife that she needs to reverence her husband. Right? He says, likewise. I believe he's going back to what he was talking about in chapter number 2. Go back in chapter 2 if you would. We looked at it last week. But in verse number 13, there's no question that Peter is writing and he's talking to these people about submitting to the authorities in their life and reverencing those that are in leadership over them. Verse 13, he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme or unto governors or as them that are sent by the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God. So Peter says, hey, he's carrying that same thought. Likewise, ye wives, submit yourselves, be in subjection, just as a person is to be in subjection to the leadership in their country or the leadership in their workplace. Look at verse number 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And then he goes down in chapter 3. I think he's carrying that thought. And he says, likewise, ye wives, right? Be in subjection to your own husbands. And so the first thing Peter says is he says, reverence your husband. Peter is saying to the wife that she's to reverence her husband. Now, when he talks about reverence in her husband, I believe he's speaking of his position. The wife is to reverence the position of her husband. Now, I realize that this isn't the most, I'm struggling. Maybe it's just me, but I'm thinking this isn't a popular topic in our day, okay? But it's still Bible. And I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop tonight. I know that we understand this and we can amen this, but do we apply this? That's what Pastor said, I believe, at the beginning of the message when he was praying. He prayed, God, help us not to just hear the word of God, but help us to be doers of the word of God. See, if we're not careful, we as Bible believers, we know what the Bible says. We know that the Bible teaches that a wife is to be in reverence to her husband, that she's to submit to her husband. She's to be in subjection to her husband. We know that. We may even amen that, but do we apply that? And I say we, I'm not a wife, but do we as Bible believers, as wives, do you reverence your husband tonight? See, the Bible says that you're to reverence your husband. Why? Because of his position. If you would, go to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show you this. Ephesians chapter number 5. Hold your place. We're coming right back to 1 Peter. Pastor was going there this morning. Pastor did a wonderful job of setting up for what I was preaching tonight. He laid a lot of groundwork and helped me not to have to go into some things that I may have went into. But in verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Very, very familiar language as to what Peter just used. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject, that's the word Peter used, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The Bible's very clear that the wife is to be in submission to her husband. Look at verse number 32. Pastor referenced this verse this morning. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she," and here's our word, "reverence her husband." So go back to 1 Peter, and I just want you to see that Peter is writing to this to these believers, and I believe he's giving them a formula for a happy home, and he says, hey, there needs to be reverence in the home. The wife needs to reverence her husband for his position, because of his position. No different than when we reverence our leaders last week. You know, it's a lot easier to preach, you ought to reverence your leadership. But that's all that we're talking about. When the Bible says, some people really struggle with this truth right here. This is not a popular subject in the world in which we live in. And I understand, as I said already, that it's not as difficult within the walls of this church. But outside of the walls of this church, in this society in which we're living, this is a very unpopular topic. This is a very unpopular subject. This might get you flagged for hate speech. I'm serious. But it's no different than submitting to the leadership of governors, of rulers. It's no different than submitting to the leadership of a boss, or as he called it, a master. It's no different. It's not about position, it's not about value. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that the wife is worth less. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. It's not about price, it's about position. I'll give you an example. The pastor is the leader of this church. I'm the assistant pastor of the church. If I have a youth activity, and we do this very regularly, we have youth activities, and I can't think of many times through the years. I was trying to think, Pastor, this afternoon. I'm sure if I thought hard enough, or if I asked my wife, who usually helps me a lot, and I didn't ask her, I should have done that. If I'd have asked my wife, she probably could have reminded me. Every now and then, I'll go to the pastor with an idea that we have for an event that we want to do with the youth. And I'll say, Pastor, this is what we're thinking about doing. Obviously, I think it's a good idea, or I wouldn't have asked him. Well, not necessarily. Sometimes my wife thinks it's a good idea, and there's something on the inside of me saying, this isn't a good idea. But I'll submit, and I'm just playing. And so I think, well, she talks me into it. I say, okay, well, that could be fun. Yeah, we might try that. Let's do that, right? Yeah, and so I go to Pastor. I say, Pastor, we want to do this with our youth group. We want to have this activity. We want to do this event. We've had it at Bible school. There's been activities that we've thought about doing at Bible school, and I've approached Pastor. Now it's coming to me, right? I've come to Pastor with a theme or with an idea for Bible school. Obviously, I thought it was a good idea, or I wouldn't have asked him. But he said, you know, Brother David, I just don't think that we should do that. You know what I do? Submit. Doesn't mean that he's any better than I am, that he's worth any more than I am, that there's a different level of our value. No, it's our position. He's the authority in the church, and I'm under his authority, and therefore I submit myself underneath his authority. And that's all God is saying in the home. He's saying, hey, dad, father, husband, you're the leader. You have the position of authority. God gave that to you. Pastor talked about it this morning. Adam, we've seen it in Ephesians. Adam is the head of the wife. The man is the head of the wife. God is the head of Christ. This is a perfect example. I heard a man say this, and honestly, when I heard it, Pastor, I almost thought, what? But it's true. I couldn't argue with the scripture. I heard a man say one time, he said that it's no different in the difference, it's no different than Christ being under God the Father. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, Christ ain't under nobody. But the Bible just said in Ephesians that Ephesians chapter 5, that God is the head, right? And so God, that's just a position. It's not value. God the Father is not any more valuable than God the Son, but it's the position that he's in. God is in that position, and Jesus submits to the will of the Father. That's Bible. Does that make Jesus any less value? No. Nothing can make Jesus of any less value. It's about position. And so when God says to the wife, wife, submit yourself to the husband, bring yourself in subjection to your husband. When he says to the wives, reverence your husband, he's not saying that you're a lesser person than he is. He's saying, hey, that's just the way it is. He's the leader, and you're to bring yourself in subjection to his leadership. And so number one, we see reverence. This shouldn't be hard for us. It shouldn't be any harder for us. It shouldn't be any harder. I'm trying to move on, but I just want to nail this point home real hard, just in case there's somebody that's struggling with it tonight, because I'm telling you, we're living in a world that's trying to corrupt what God says. Pastor talked about it this morning. The attack is not, it's on God's word. And God's word says that the husband is the leader and the wife is to be in subjection to the husband. So the world says that's not the way it's supposed to be. And so we're living in a world that is very, having this feminist movement, and we're just seeing our society become unraveled because it's going against God's way, which ultimately is going against God's word. It should not be any harder for a wife to submit to her husband than it is for her to submit to her boss at work. Or it would be to submit. That word subjection means to bring under rank. It's a military term. It means just to bring yourself under the rank of that person that is above you in position. And so Peter says, hey, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Look down in verse 2, he says this, coupled with fear, that's reverence. He says, some people think that he's talking about a fear of God. I believe he's talking about fear of the husband, reverence for your husband. I think he's saying, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, with reverence. Your reverence in his position. Peter's saying, hey, you need to have reverence for your husband. As you bring yourself into subjection to him, you need to have reverence for his position. Verse number five says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. He says, this is nothing new. Peter says, it's always been this way. In old time, holy women, not all women. I like how Peter pointed out that it was holy women. It wasn't all women. He didn't say all women in old time was in subjection to their husbands. No, he said holy women. Holy women. Women that feared God. Women that loved God. Women that wanted to do the will of God brought themselves in subjection to their husbands. That's what the Bible says, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. This is kind of funny. Pastor, you'll kind of get a kick out of this. Pastor texted me this afternoon. I was sitting at my desk finishing up my notes for my message tonight. I've been sitting at my desk for a while, and I get a text from Pastor, and it says, are you awake? And I thought, I'm going to tell you right now, if I could sleep right now, I can't sleep on Sunday afternoon. I used to take a Sunday afternoon nap, but ever since I started preaching on Sunday nights, I can tell you right now, Sunday afternoon naps went out the door, okay? And so I'm thinking, he says, are you awake? I'm thinking, man, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. You could be sleeping at 4:30 on a Sunday. But anyway, I said, yes, sir. And he sent me back and he said, a laugh face, and said, that was meant for Sharon. And you know what I laughed about? What I thought was so funny was that I wonder how long it took him to know that he had sent it to the wrong person when I responded, yes, sir. I'm sitting there reading about, you know, Sarah calling Abraham Lord, and I said, yes, sir, and he said, I was actually sending that to Sharon. I was like, I was sitting there looking at my desk thinking, I wonder if Pastor had to take a double take if he was thinking, hey, man, she's finally getting it. or if he was like, oh, no, I sent this to the wrong, who did I send this to? It couldn't have been Sharon, right? But anyway, yes, sir, right? And so I'm expecting yes, sir, next time I text you, honey. Now, I'm just playing. We did activities Friday night with our teens, a clue activity. Somebody saw the pictures on Facebook, and Meredith and I were the host, and I was Lord Oliver, right? Miss Karen asked me this morning, she said, Lord Oliver, how is thy back, right? Broyles was my butler. Broyles, amen. But anyway, so he says, hey, be in subjection. It's reverence, right? Reverence his position. So wives, I'm getting ready to move on to the husbands. Wives, reverence your husband's position.
In chapter 2, the Bible said this. We talked about it last week. It says in verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The king was Nero at this time, but Peter's saying, hey, you still need to honor him. You still need to respect him. You still need to reverence his position. And we talked about that last week. That's what Peter's talking about. He's saying your husband is in a position that deserves reverence. But can I tell you this, husbands? I believe this with all of my heart. God says, hey, wives, reverence your husbands. But I believe he also says this, husbands, reverence your wives. Look at verse 7. I thought this was interesting. I did some word studies here. Pastor likes word studies. I thought this was very interesting. Verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. That word honor there, reverence. Giving honor unto the wife. Look the word up, honor. It means reverence. You know what it actually carries with the meaning of it? If you do a word study on that word in the Greek, it actually means something that is worth great value. That's what it means. Same word is used in 1 Peter. I want to show you. I wrote it down. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Same Greek word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Talking about Jesus now. Talking about Jesus, it says, for unto you that believe, he is precious. That word precious, if you look it up in a concordance, is the exact same Greek word that Peter used when he said, honor your wife, right? And in chapter number 3, in verse number 7, he said, giving honor unto the wife. Same word. He said, unto you which believe, he's precious. You know what that means? He's of great value. He's worth a whole lot. Unto you that believe, Jesus Christ is precious. He means the world to you. And Peter's saying, hey, husband, you ought to honor your wife. She ought to be precious to you. You ought to reverence her as something that is worth great value. Man, how I'm learning through the years, Pastor, the value of a good wife. God is teaching me. I can remember when I first got married, I used to hear people, Pastor, and other men of this church. I'm just being real with you. It's the only way I know how to be. I remember being a young Christian and just getting married and sitting in church, and some of these men that have been married 30, 40 years would get up and they would testify and talk about their wife, and I mean how they loved her, and and just go on and on. I'm looking around the room and I'm thinking about it. I've watched the example of Brother Allen and how he reverences Miss Sharon through the years as we've traveled the country going to youth conferences. I appreciate that example, Brother Allen. And there's others. Brother Faulkner, I've heard you testify many times of your wife. Now I'm starting to dig. Now I'm going to have to start mentioning everybody, right? Now I'm not going to do that. But as I would sit there and I would listen, sometimes I would think, man, these poor fellas. She's got him wrapped around her finger. No, I'm just playing. But as time has went on, how God has taught me what a precious thing a wife is. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's of great value. Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 31, verse 10, he said, her price is far above rubies. Far above rubies. There's no amount of money that you can put on the price tag of a wife. She's precious. And Peter says, hey, you better reverence her. You better respect her. You better treat her with care. That's what he's saying. It's unto the weaker vessel. When I think about that weaker vessel, I'm thinking about a piece of china that's worth great value. You treat it with care. You reverence that. You know, you got a dish at home that, you know, is plastic that, you know, the kids got Mickey Mouse on it or something like that, man. You'll throw that thing around, drop it, slam it, whatever. But if you've got a family heirloom, a piece of china, we don't have any of this, but if you've got a piece of what is it called? I'm thinking glass. It's a piece of dishware that you only get out when company comes and it's worth great value, you're going to treat it a little bit more cautiously. You're going to reverence it. You ain't gonna let the kids wash it. Said, no, I'll get that. I'll put that in the dishwasher. Actually, I'm not even gonna put it in the dishwasher. I'm gonna hand wash it. You understand what I'm saying? Peter says, hey, reverence her. Reverence her. It's our job, men, to reverence our wives. We ought to treat them like what they are, and that is precious. Something of a great value. Something that is you can't put a price tag on. You ought to treat her better than you treat that old car, that old truck. Some people treat their vehicle like it's precious. You ought to start treating your wife like she's precious. Because he says reverence her. And so he speaks about reverence. It's of a great value. So number one, he speaks about reverence. Number two, let me move on. He speaks about responsibility. Peter gives a couple of responsibilities for the husband and for the wife. So I'm going to give the wife first, okay? Ladies first, okay? See, we're reverencing the wife. We're respecting her. And so we're going to let her go first. And so he gives some responsibilities to the wife. He says, number one, that she needs, look at verse number two. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of the putting on of apparel. Let me just say, it has absolutely nothing to do with my message, but I do want to say this, because there is actually people that will take this text of scripture and say that a woman shouldn't wear makeup, she shouldn't do her hair, she shouldn't have jewelry. If they're going to say that, then she shouldn't wear clothes. I mean, that's what it says, right? It says putting on of apparel. So if you're going to say, well, she shouldn't fix her hair, she shouldn't own jewelry, well, if you're going to follow that line of thought, then you'd have to say she shouldn't wear clothes. And so that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, hey, that ought not be what's the main thing. You know, I don't even want to chase that rabbit, but I'm just telling you, that ought not be the main goal, right? That'll only last so long. That'll only last so long. Some of you young men, hey, don't just go after her beauty. You know, the Bible talks about her beauty in the book of Proverbs. And there's more than just her looks. And that's what Peter's saying. He's saying, hey, you have a responsibility, wife, and this is your responsibility. Number one, to be chaste. To be chaste. I looked that word up. It means to be clean, innocent, modest. You can look it up. The word chaste, chastity. It means to be clean. It means innocency. It means modesty. It means pureness. I really like this definition. This was in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Without obscenity. I thought about, man, the world we're living in today. The obscenity that comes out of a woman's life. I can't believe it sometimes. I get on social media. I'm not on Facebook a whole lot. I get on Twitter a good bit, and I see these videos of these women just yelling and cursing in people's faces and spitting and just vulgarity and just obscenity. I say, oh my goodness, that's not what God intended for a woman to be. It's not what God intended for anybody to be, but he sure didn't intend it for a woman to be. As Pastor said this morning, he built her. He formed us out of the dust. If we start acting like it, then he's probably thinking, yeah, well, they came from the dirt, right? But hey, he formed the woman. He built the woman. He said, that ought not be. And so a wife, he says, she ought to be. Her responsibility is to be chaste. It's to be pure. It's to be clean. It's to be innocent. It's to be modest. It's to be without obscenity. God help us to have some ladies in our day. And I thank God for the ladies. There's many, many, many ladies. I do want to say this. There are many, many ladies in this room tonight that are a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Amen. Carry themselves in a way that's modest, that's not outlandish, out front. Listen to me. I'm woman, hear me roar. That's what's going on in our world today.
That's right.
Listen to me. Look at me. And it's a shame. It's not the way God intended it. Can I tell you, those women are miserable. They're miserable. So young ladies that are in here, don't think that's going to bring you joy and happiness. It's going to bring you misery. Those people are miserable. It's like Pastor said this morning, the most miserable people in the world outside of lost people are saved people living like they're lost. And can I tell you, a woman that's living the way that God didn't intend for her to live is miserable. God didn't intend for women to be that way. And so he says, your job is to be chaste, to be clean, to be innocent, to be modest, to be pure, to be without obscenity. And I could go on and on. He says, hey, look at verse number three. He says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting, the hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on apparel. He says, hey, don't try to get all the attention on you and try to put yourself in a way that people are gonna pay attention to you and focus on you. He says, no, don't do that. He says, no, don't do that. Verse 4, he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. He says the woman's job is to be chaste. Not only is it her job to be chaste, but it is her job to be calm. Thank God for a calm wife. I mean that. I'm serious. My wife's calm. I need it. And I thank God for it. Look at it, verse number 3. He said, where are you getting that from? I'm getting it from the Bible. Verse 4, he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. A woman's not to be loud and obnoxious. I know we're living, I know that's unpopular in 2022, but it's Bible. It's Bible. No, she's to have a calm and a quiet and a meek spirit. And thank God for the women that do. That's the way God intended it to be. Amen. And so he says they need to be calm. Proverbs 21, I've heard these verses now. I just want to throw this out here. Proverbs 21, verse 19 says this: it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Man said, I'd rather go out and sleep under the stars in a tent than sit around with an angry and contentious woman. I'm trying to help some people tonight. I'm serious. I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. This is God's word. It's God's word. You say, my home's not happy. Well, I'm trying to give you some help tonight. I'll tell you, ma'am, one way you can probably make it home is calm down a little bit. Get off his back. Don't nag him all the time. I mean, he said, hey, and Peter said, if your husband's lost, you're not going to win him by nagging him. You know what he's going to do? He's going to the wilderness. They might call it the bar. They might call it the boys. He's going to get away from you if all you do is nag him all the time. So calm down. Proverbs 27, verse 15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Nobody likes a continual dripping. Man, I had a dripping. Condensation pump started making that bubbling sound. I called Brother Ricky. I was getting ready to cut holes in the wall. I'm climbing on chairs, listening. I'm like, where is this dripping? It's driving me crazy. I was sitting at my desk, this was a couple weeks ago. I'm sitting at my desk trying to study, and I keep hearing boop, 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 boop. Man, I'm ready to take a hammer and a sheetrock saw and start cutting holes. I'm like, I have got to stop this sound. Where is this coming from? I'm listening to the refrigerator. I'm walking around the basement looking up. And finally, I heard where it was coming from. It was my condensation pump. I called Brother Rick. I said, Brother Ricky, my condensation pump is making an awful sound. It's supposed to drive me crazy. And he explained to me what it was. It ain't got fixed yet, but no, I was just playing. It's like 3 weeks ago. He said, the air condition's getting ready to go off, brother. You won't have to worry about it for a couple months, right? And he's right. I hadn't heard it anymore because we ain't been running the air condition a whole lot. But anyway, so he said, hey, you calm down. I need to move on. So wives, calm down. Be calm. Be chaste. That's the wife's job. You say, well, what's the man's responsibility? Look at verse number 7. The man's responsibility, verse number 7, he says, likewise, ye husbands, look at this, I like this, dwell with them. Dwell with them. You know what our jobs are, men? To be a companion. He said, dwell with them. Our wives want us to spend time with them. We can't work 12 hours a day and then go out and hang in the shop and twiddle with wood for a little while and then, you know, go check on the trail camera and watch the game and do this and do that and then come in and pass out on the couch and think we're going to have a good marriage. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I know. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's just the same as a woman being chaste and a woman being calm and not nagging. Hey, can I tell you, men, it's our job to spend time with our wives. He said dwell with them. That word dwell means you sit down and spend some time. Our wives need companionship. God has really helped me with this as I've been married over time. I've learned. They say happy wife, happy life. Amen. Right? How are you going to make your wife happy? Spend time with her. Spend time with her. That's what she wants. She wants our companionship. And so Peter says, hey, dwell with them, men. He says, you need to spend some time with them. Hey, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. I don't understand it. Men get married, and next thing you know, man, they want to spend time with their wife, spend time with their wife, then they get a ring on their finger, and now all of a sudden they don't want to spend their time with their wife. There's something wrong. Something wrong. God said it's not good that a man be alone. Not only does she need companionship, we need companionship. God made it that way, and thank God he did. God said it's not good for man to be alone, so he made the woman to be with him. And so number one, for the men, they need their responsibility is companionship. Number two, their responsibility, and this one hit me right here, is to be considerate or to consider her. Look at verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. He says, according to knowledge. He says, you need to understand some things. You need to dwell with your wife and you need to try to consider her. You need to understand according to knowledge. You need to learn some things. I need to learn some things. We need to be considerate of her. That's what he's saying. I really believe that. He says, according to understanding, according unto knowledge, look at it, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I think it could mean many things, but I definitely think it means that we need to consider her. We need to try to understand her. You say, Brother Dave, that's impossible. I know. I mean, we're different. I'm telling you, we're different, but we got to try. I'm learning. Some of you have already learned all this. I understand that. I understand. Some of you have just already learned it. You've mastered it. But I haven't. And I got to be reminded of it. It's important for me to consider my wife. I got to think about what I know. God's given me some things. God's given me knowledge. Everything I need to know about my wife and everything I need to know about marriage and everything I need to know about life is in this book right here. And God says you need to dwell according to it. You need to learn what that book says and then you need to live like it. You want to have a happy home? You want to have a happy marriage? Figure out what God says and live like it. That's what he's saying. He's saying consider it. You got to be considerate. You got to try to understand and realize that she doesn't think like you. Say, man, I figured that out a long time ago, right? She's a weaker vessel. You need to think about it. I thought about this. I'm almost done. I'm serious. I'm like right at the end of my message. I thought about this yesterday. He said, consider her as unto the weaker vessel. He said, you got to consider she's not as strong as you are. I know that's not popular in today, but just check it out, okay? These men playing women's sports, it's ridiculous. She's the weaker vessel. I mean, it just is what it is. Now, I understand there's some women that probably could body slam me. But as a whole, I'm talking about, okay? As a whole, I get it. There are some that would break me in half. But as a whole, men are stronger than women. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? That doesn't bother me. Alan Wayne's stronger than I am. That don't bother me. That's obvious. Jay's stronger than he is. And I'm just saying, I don't know. But it's just obvious, okay? Man is stronger than woman. He says, hey, you need to reverence her. Anyway, yesterday, this is hilarious to me. It may not be funny to nobody, but I knew what I was going to be preaching on, and I thought to myself, even while I was doing it, I thought, this is funny. So we're moving furniture. We moved some of the kids into the basement, moved my office, and yesterday, here I go with that word again, we. Y'all going to like it here in a minute, we. So my back's been giving me a fit. And so Mary's like, I was like, Mary, if we can't do this right now, we need to wait a couple weeks until my back's better, and then we'll move all this furniture. And she was insistent, we can do it, me and Leah, we'll do it. You can just kind of. So anyway, they're getting a desk yesterday and coming around the house, and Leah and Meredith are carrying it now. I think Adam was helping too. So Adam and Leah were on one side, Meredith's on the other side, and I'm walking around the house. I'm like, if somebody rides by, yeah, Lord. That's what I was. Move the furniture. Yes, Lord. But anyway, I'm walking around beside them, and they're going, my Leah's telling me, my fingers are hurting my fan. Meredith's like, this is hurting my hands. And I'm like, good night. I'm getting aggravated because I'm thinking, man, I could carry this desk by myself if my back wasn't hurt. I'm serious. That's literally what I was thinking. I was actually getting a little aggravated when I coached. I was like, come on, it's not that heavy. Good night. Just carry the thing around the house. But I need to consider they're the weaker vessel, right? Their hands are a little weaker than my hands, right? They're not quite as strong as I am. Thank God for that. I wouldn't want to have a wife stronger than I was. Good night. What a miserable life that would be. Nah, but anyway, I'm beat you up. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay. Dwell with her. Consider her. Let me say this. Look at verse number 7. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. You know, I looked that up, and there's so many different things what people believe about that. I'm just going to tell you what I believe God showed me about that verse of Scripture. I think God was saying, hey, man, just think about it. Sir, you need to consider some things. You know what you need to consider is she's your partner. Y'all on the same team. That's what he's saying. I really believe. I mean, he may be saying some other things, but he's saying, hey, you need to dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life. He says, you may be the leader, but y'all are on the same team. And you need to consider that. She's not your enemy. She's your helpmate. And you ought to treat her like it. This is not you and she's just along for the ride. No, this is y'all. I know. I can say that in Madison County. It's not you. It's y'all. This is a team effort. He says, don't forget, sir, you better consider some things. This ain't all about you. Y'all are heirs of the grace of life. Yes, you may be stronger than her. You may think that you're smarter than her. You're probably not. You may have a higher position than her. But he says, hey, don't you forget, y'all in this together. You're heirs of the grace of life. And so you need to care for her. You need to respect her. You need to reverence her. You need to be a companion to her. You need to consider her. And so we see the responsibilities. And then last, he speaks about results. So he spoke about reverence. He spoke about responsibility. And then last, he spoke about results. And I'm not even going to go into them, but look at verse number 4. The Bible says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. God said, ladies, when you live this way, when you reverence your husband, when you respond by being chaste and being calm and being Christ-like, that's really what he's saying. And I understand this is not, I'm just trying to stay in the text. We could go to Ephesians, we could go to Timothy, we could go to Titus, we could look at some other text and really get an exhaustive study on the husband and wife relationship. Pastor's done that many times. I'm not doing that tonight. I'm just kind of staying right here in the text. But he says, ma'am, when you are in the position that God put you in, the position that God made you for, it's very pleasing to him. That's what he said in verse 4. He said, which is in the sight of God of great price. God loves to see a woman in the right role. It's pleasing to God. He said, in verse 6, he said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Can I tell you, some people won't practice what I'm preaching tonight because they're scared to. Because it's not popular. This preaching right here in the world we live in today is not popular. You gonna let that man? Who does he? He's a, you know, he thinks we're in the cave days. I mean, that's what they'll say. You go to that church where the men, you know, that church where it's all men. That's the way God intended it. Thank God this church has men in it. There's a lot of churches, you know what they got? A bunch of women. Thank God for a man. Thank God for a woman. And when we do it God's way, God's pleased with it. He says it's pleasing to God. Verse 7, it says this. He says, being heirs together of the grace of life, look at it, that your prayers be not hindered. You say, what's the results? Well, God's pleased. Your prayers get through. Your prayers get through. He said, men, when you treat the wife the way you're supposed to, he says, your prayers get through. I'm not an intelligent person. I've told y'all that numerous times. I don't claim to be. I'm really not. But I know this. I just know what that's saying. If you don't, your prayers won't get through. They may get through, but they're going to be hindered. I don't know about you, but I don't want my prayers hindered. There could be somebody here tonight, could be some man here tonight. You've been praying for some time about something, and you feel like it's just bouncing off the ceiling. Maybe you need to go home and put into practice what was preached tonight and treat your wife the way she's supposed to be treated, and God will hear your prayers. He says that your prayers be not hindered. See, so God says, hey, Peter says the results are, it's pleasing to God. The results are, your prayers will get through. And I would go beyond that and say the results are, you have a peaceful marriage. You have a peaceful marriage. Our relationship with our spouse. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would take your word tonight. And God, do what only you can do with it, Lord. I've tried to deliver it the way that you gave it to me. And God, I pray that you would take it and you would work in hearts. Lord, you know my desire. God, is to just try to help people. God, I believe your way is the right way. Lord, whether I do it or not doesn't matter. It's always right. God, help me to be the husband that you want me to be. God, I pray for our church. I pray for the families of our church. Lord, help us to be the example of a Christian home to our children, to our community, to our country. God, help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the pianist is going to begin to play.